Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, God is Good. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
Have more faith in His goodness than in your sin. Have more faith in the blood than in your failure. He said, go into all the world and proclaim it. Shout it from the rooftops. Preach it over the TV and the satellite and the internet. And proclaim it and tell everybody what? The good news. What's good news? Jesus, you know, was we have reason to believe that repeatedly he would take the passage from Isaiah and start out his sermon and say, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's good news to the poor man? You're not going to hell. No, you should say good news to the lost man. I had a fellow one time try to take me to test. He said, now, brother, being saved from sin and believing on Jesus and being saved is the most important message. I said, well, that depends. I knew it. Y'all are caught. I mean, shocked him. Kind of pleased him because he wanted to believe I was a bad guy. I said, well, I don't agree with that. I said, that depends. He's, what? I said, well, you tell me. If you're saved and you know God, but you're powerless in your life, is Jesus the Savior the most important message to you? No. You've already heard that message. You're saved. Jesus, the baptizer in the Holy Ghost, is the most important message for you right now. Now, to the man that's lost and don't know God, yes, the most important message to him or her is Jesus the Savior. But let's say you're saved. You've been saved for 40 years and you can't pay your bills and you're always behind and you're a bad witness in the community because of your finances. Is Jesus the Savior the most important message to you? No, you already know him as Savior. You're already saved. Names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus the Provider. Yes. Jesus the good God of abundance. He'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. That's the message you need to hear. Right? Maybe you got all the money in the world, but you're too sick to even get up and go to church. You've been saved and talking in tongues for years. Well, Jesus the Savior is not the most important message to you. You need to hear about Jesus the Healer. And all of those are parts of the same gospel. The same good news. Good news. Jesus came. He paid the price. He offered his spirit for our spirit. He offered his soul for our soul. He offered our body for our body. Even though he was so rich, he became poor for us so we could be rich. There's good news to the lost man. There's good news to the sick man. There's good news to the powerless Christian. There's good news to the poor, broke man. There's good news, good news. It's our job to proclaim it. But what if you tell people that good news and they say, I don't care, I don't believe it. Then you say, well, you're going to hell if you don't change. We've got bad news for them now. But give them the good news first. And then if they receive it, you don't have to give them any bad news, right? Good news. Good news. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Kings 10. Glory to God. Thank you, Master. I believe in the goodness of God. I believe he's good, good. I believe he's better than I know. And I'm believing to find out. just how good He really is. Say it out loud. I believe in the love of God. I'm a strong believer in the goodness of God. In 1 Kings 10, this story to me portrays this truth so well. So many have not been told that God is good. They just haven't. And so they don't believe in the goodness of God. They haven't really heard. Others have heard it, but it just seemed too good. It just seemed like a fairy tale. It was just too far-fetched. You know, you have to remind yourself, some people tuning in for us the first time, they're just in amazement. They're like, they really believe all that? They look like they're having fun. You reckon they're all putting on, do you? I mean, the whole bunch of them. That'd be hard to do. Boy, it's orchestrated well. They all flow together. They seem happy. Because, see, people don't believe that. And the reason they don't believe it, because they don't believe in the goodness of God. They don't know Him that way. But it's our job to proclaim it and to be an example of it. Right? Because what turns people to God? What moves people to repent and to change and turn it around? It's not just harping on them. It is them tasting and seeing and experiencing the goodness of God. And it'd have to be in the land of the living for them to see it. So should you and I, people talk about, well, you know, y'all should be evangelistic. We are very evangelistic. You don't have any idea how many people are confessing Jesus. Over the internet and by the TV, it's happening all over the place. But you understand, you can choreograph and you can move people to respond to leading a confession or even an invitation. That didn't mean they're saved. People can repeat and parrot something after you and not be saved. But from your heart, when you get a revelation of who God is, when they see Him and begin to believe on His goodness, they'll want Him. They'll come to Him by the masses, and then nobody can beat it out of them because they have tasted for themselves. And they see and know He's real and He's good. 1 Kings 10. I'm thinking about closing. 1 Kings 10. This is the story of King Solomon, who has built upon the glory of his father David's kingdom. And now, I mean, if you look at all, the previous chapter tells about how much money is flowing into his kingdom on an annual and semi-annual basis. I mean, major, major, major money is flowing. And the Bible said there was so much gold then that silver was accounted as nothing. And normal, they had so much of the most precious timber like cedar that nobody used the lesser woods. I mean, they built everything out of cedar and they plated everything with gold. Forget brass and nickel. And they'd only use those if those materials worked better for the product. But, you know, gold was everywhere and that kind of timber. And his kingdom was just spectacular. And the Queen of Sheba, you ever heard about her? There's been a lot of talk about her. Christians say, well, who does she think she is? The Queen of Sheba? Well, that'd be good. But the Queen of Sheba was somebody herself and a lady of substantial means and power and influence herself. And she heard so much about Solomon and his kingdom that she just had to come check it out for herself. And so she came and she brought all kind of gifts and she had a lot of questions she wanted to ask him to check out, see if he really is wise as what all they say. And she wanted to see for herself, is he really as rich and magnificent as they say? And here in chapter 10, verse 1, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. Now that's what we want. When people hear about how wonderful and magnificent our stuff is, in their mind, they know it's connected with the name of the Lord. It's not just us. And she came to prove him or to test him with some hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train and camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came in, she communed with him with all that was in her heart. And he told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, were they saving money?
No.
Were they posting regularly how much money they saved by using lesser materials and just not going overboard and... That was the last thing on their mind. Their thought was, what's the best in the earth? And how can we improve it? Cost was down the list somewhere. And it takes some mind renewal to get there. But we can. That was kind of weak, wasn't it? Well, we won't give up. We're going to keep moving this way, right? His cupbearers, by the ascending, went up to the house of the Lord. When she saw all that, there was no more spirit in her. Some would say it took her breath away. She was just in awe. Of what? Of what? Come on now, put yourself in it. She was in awe of the way the wisdom of God flowed through him, and he answered all her questions. And to him, everything she asked that she thought was so hard, it was just easy to him. She thought, oh God, look at this. And then it was time for lunch. And the cupbearers walked up in $10,000 suits. And the plates were $40,000 a piece. And the food, oh, the food, oh. And the silverware and the tablecloths and the napkins were $5,000 a piece.
Thank you, Lord.
And a prophet of the Lord came in and said, woe, woe, woe unto you, wasting the Lord's money. Thou shalt be called to account, thou waster, blowing money on stuff like this. Who gave them this?
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series, God is Good, you may call More Life Ministries at 941-702-7390. That's 941-702-7390. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelife.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Remember to join us in Sarasota, Florida on Monday, February 1st, as we begin the Greater Faith Conference. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.
Thanks be to God, God who gives me